Good morning and welcome to our podcast. My name is David Pritchard. I'm the head of marketing here at Sintons. I'm joined again today by my colleague Leah Greenwell from the employment team here at Sintons. And our podcast today, which will last approximately 10 or so minutes, is issue 77 of our employment law e-bulletin, the written version of which you can find on our website, www.sintons.co.uk. This one's been wrote by Leah, and she's going to record it now as a podcast. So without any further ado, Leah, good morning and over to you.
Morning, David, and morning to everyone else. So thank you for joining us for another monthly employment bulletin. So this month, I'm going to take you through some updates in relation to vaccines and the furlough scheme and the effects that these have in the workplace. So first things first, the government have just recently released some vaccination guidance for employers. So in relation to their general guidance, the government have published a guide which recommends that employers actively encourage and support their staff to get vaccinated against COVID-19. So the guidance includes information and different resources to support and promote the COVID-19 vaccination programme. And really helpfully, the government have produced a employer's communication toolkit. So that can be used to run an internal awareness campaign within organisations to help ensure that their employees get access to reliable and accurate information about the COVID vaccine. So the toolkit includes resources like a Q&A document, essential vaccination information, scripts to inform internal conversations, links to videos and webinars, posters, screensavers, intranet banners and email signatures. So there's all sorts that are available to use. And some ways to implement the toolkit material could include articles or blog posts about the importance of the vaccination. And that could also be posted kind of internally and sent via emails or newsletter communications. So from a practical point of view, employers should provide information in relation to how and where workers can get vaccinated in their locality. So the guidance also recommends that employers could use departmental champions to promote vaccination and encourage senior staff to share their vaccination experiences. So although the guidance does not specify that workers should be entitled to time off to attend vaccination appointments, employers should still consider allowing workers to take time off to be vaccinated, and sick leave policies and procedures should be reviewed to ensure that they do not desensitize workers from getting vaccinated. So whilst employers are advised to encourage their staff to get vaccinated, if an employee does not want to be vaccinated because of health reasons, for example, then the employer should listen to their concerns. It's really important that employers are sensitive towards personal situations, and you must keep any kind of concerns confidential and be careful to avoid discrimination. Aside from that, however, you may have seen that there are now certain sectors where the government have made vaccinations mandatory. So the government has now passed legislation making a vaccination for COVID-19 a condition of working in care homes. So this will come into force on the 11th of November this year, and there will be a 16-week grace period to enable those impacted by the requirement to receive both doses of the vaccine. So the requirement will apply indoors only and will include all persons who enter a care home, regardless of their role, subject to certain exclusions. So the following workers will be excluded from the requirement to have both vaccines. So it will include those who should not be vaccinated for medical reasons, those providing emergency assistance or urgent maintenance in the care home, members of the emergency services, people under the age of 18, and those providing spiritual support for residents. So practically, those within the care industry should start to write to their employees advising of the new changes and explain that evidence will need to be provided to demonstrate that they have received a complete course of an authorised COVID-19 vaccine, or alternatively, evidence that they are exempt from the vaccination. So evidence of an authorised COVID-19 vaccine. That might include the NHS COVID vaccination record card, an NHS COVID pass, which can be accessed through the app, or a printed copy of the NHS COVID pass or COVID post-vaccination letter, which can be requested online or phoning 119. So the aim of these new rules in care homes is just to help ensure that care home residents at high risk from COVID-19, either due to their age, underlying health conditions or disability, are better protected against the virus. And it's important that there's clear communication between employers and employees, which explains the changes in the law, the reason behind the change, and what is required from its employees. So next, just going to take you through a very quick update in relation to the coronavirus job retention scheme, or furlough scheme as it's more commonly known. So the furlough scheme has changed yet again. So whilst the government paid 70% of salaries, with employers contributing 10% in July, in August and September, the government will pay 60% and employers will pay 20%. The monthly limit of £2,500 remains in place, so workers will not notice the difference, and the furlough scheme will continue to run until 30th of September. So there's been no announcements yet about what support, if any, will be available after this date. So watch this space for any updates. So finally, we've also had two recent employment tribunal cases, which have provided some useful guidance on making redundancies whilst the furlough scheme remains in operation. So in the case of Handley and Tatton Hill, an employment tribunal held that a dismissal was not unfair despite the operation of the furlough scheme, whilst on the other hand, in the case of Minderwa, an employee was found to have been unfairly dismissed when the employer failed to consider using the furlough scheme as an alternative to redundancy. So in Minderwa, the claimant was found to have been unfairly dismissed when her employer refused to consider furlough leave before making her redundant in July 2020. So the employment tribunal held that although there was a genuine redundancy situation, a reasonable employer would at the time have considered whether Ms. Minderwa could be placed on furlough leave as an alternative to redundancy. The lack of work for the claimant was as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and a situation for which the furlough scheme was intended to be used, but there was no explanation as to why this hadn't been considered. In Handley, the claimant was placed on furlough leave in April 2020 on the basis that this would initially be for a period of 3 weeks or until he could return to work as normal. Mr. Handley was made redundant in August 2020, and he then brought a claim for unfair dismissal, arguing that the furlough agreement prevented his redundancy. His claim was not upheld, and the employment tribunal accepted that the employer needed to cut costs, notwithstanding the furlough scheme, and that it tended to use the furlough scheme to cover some of the costs of the redundancy. Although another employer may have chosen to keep Mr. Handley on furlough leave, it was not unfair for the employer not to. So although these two cases are not binding as their first instant decisions, they indicate that employment tribunals may expect employers to have at least considered the option of furlough leave when considering potential redundancies at certain points during the pandemic. And although the impact of these cases may be significantly reduced as we approach the end of the furlough scheme, they are a good reminder of the need for employers to consider the alternatives available to them as they consult in relation to potential redundancies, and to provide clear explanations as to why they have been rejected, if so. So that's all from me. So thank you for listening today, and I'll pass you back to David.
Thanks, Leah. Enjoyed listening to that. Very informative. Very quickly from me, as usual, we release our webinars, podcasts and blogs on a regular basis, all of which can be found on our website, www.sintons.co.uk, should you wish to take a look. And that includes a lot of employment content, actually. All our monthly Q&As are up there, previous events are up there, and all the bulletins. So please do take a few minutes just to have a look. It's a great resource. You can also follow the employment team on Twitter at SintonsHR. If you'd like to discuss anything that Leah has raised today, please don't hesitate to get in touch with her or a member of the team. Leah can be contacted via telephone, 0191 226 7878 or via email, leah.greenwell@sintons.co.uk. That's all from us for now. Thank you very much for listening this morning. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you again. Thank you.